Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I want to hear cannons. Outfield, pop ball to the five. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans does it again. Fire the cannons, Bucks.
It's first and goal. That's picked off. And who else? Rondé Barber. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers may ride to the Super Bowl with that one.
Third down, 18. Dropping Gannon, looking Gannon, looking Gannon. Throws up on the
head. Derek Brooks, 30. Derek Brooks, 30. Brooks to the 29, 20. Derek Brooks all the way.
There it is. The dagger's in. We're going to win the Super Bowl. And there the cannons go. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Just a month ago, we were talking about replacing the head coach, replacing the quarterback, looking ahead to what kind of draft strategies the Bucs were going to be in for. And as we've said before on the show, winning cures all. So 4 wins later, the Bucs are 8-7, right back into the thick of it with the NFC playoff race. And one win away from clinching that NFC South division, clinching a home playoff game in the 4 seed in the NFC. What are your thoughts on the game? Obviously, a lot going on this week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, just like you said, there's a lot on the line. It'll be the first time ever that the Buccaneers, obviously last year was the first time they won NFC South back-to-back years. This will be the first time ever, obviously, 3 straight. Five-game win streak, I believe, would be the longest since that 2016 five-game win streak. I don't believe they've won 5 in a row since then, you know, including the when we're talking about the regular season. Obviously, yeah, you talk about the playoffs. You know, I think if you include the playoffs, I have to check though. Did the 2020 team, did they end on a 5-game win streak? I don't quite remember. I'll check that out right now. But so, yeah, like it you was, said though, there's a lot at stake, and also, look, they get a chance to sweep the Saints for a second straight year, which is something that the Saints did to the Buccaneers both in 2020 and 2021. Obviously, the Buccaneers got the better of them in the playoffs, but in the regular season, that's what happens. So, the Buccaneers won 4 straight to end the regular season in 2020. So, have not won 5 straight in the regular season, I'm pretty sure, since that 2016 season. So, there's a lot at stake here.
You may want to take a look at the 2021 schedule. I think they may have won.
I don't think they won 5 straight.
I know they went streaking.
We were just talking the other day about if they won 4 straight, and they did. I think they didn't win 4 straight in that season.
No kidding. They went streaking a lot. They won a lot of games. I mean, a franchise high 13-4 in the first 17-game season in NFL history. The Bucs came out on top. Didn't even get the 1 seed. That's the worst part, though.
Yeah, they had two. In 2021, they had 2 4-game win streaks, but they did not have a 5-game win streak.
So again, shades of that 2016 season where the Bucs went from 3-5 to 8-5, ultimately missed the postseason. But that was a season that gave us a lot of hope for Dirk Cutter at that time. You know, really thought that the way that the defense was rolling in those 5 games and the development of Jameis Winston, man, that was a wild time. But let's talk about this Bucs team this year. So we obviously know what's at stake in the game this Sunday, but I wanted to dive a little bit more into the defense because I think we're going to be relying on the defense to win this game, honestly, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know the Saints have been just a team with, I don't even know, man. Apparently, they're keeping Dennis Allen. It doesn't seem like they have much to play for other than to upset the other teams. I mean, they can still win the division. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to sit here and put all my eggs into one basket just yet with this Bucs team. But the Saints are just not in a very good place. They are not. So, wanted to dive into the defense because they're going to have to win the game. The Saints have been injured all year. They still have a top 10 pass defense, and they have been a team that, even though the Bucs have swept them in 2022 and could potentially do it this year, I don't want to count them out. We've been watching this team long enough to where, even though the Bucs have kind of gotten New Orleans off of their back in a sense, it still feels like every game is not a guarantee, especially in this division, and especially a team that just knows how to steal wins like New Orleans knows how to do. I don't have a lot of favorable things to say about the Saints, but I have to give them credit because I can't discount any matchup the Bucs go into with them. So talking about the defense, I wanted to open things up specifically and talk about these young defensive players who have just shined recently. And I think a lot of guys who could be in the defensive rookie of the year conversation. Let's talk about Yaya Diaby first and foremost, who leads the team in sacks, which is tied for leading NFL rookies in sacks at 6.5. That is outside linebacker who has just absolutely showed up and played maybe a little over half the season, wasn't even a starter until 3-4 weeks ago. Yaya Diaby is an absolute force at outside linebacker, and I'm going to be curious to see what his ceiling looks like in the NFL, because if this is what we have seen on an abbreviated rookie season, dude, like, can you imagine what he's going to look like 3 years from now when the Bucs have to potentially pay him?
Yeah, it's been a really good start to his obviously his career. And like you said, he wasn't even, you know, he's more of a rotational player for the first, I mean, I wouldn't even say first half. I'd say more than first half. I would say 70% of the season or so. He's probably more of a rotational guy. And just recently, I believe it was the Colts game, week 12, that he officially got the starting nod. So it was a long time. And yeah, 6.5 sacks. Had a forced fumble, I believe, as well. So yeah, it was really, really nice day for Diaby on Sunday against the Jaguars. But yeah, really nice season. And like, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Kalijah Kansi and stuff, and we'll talk about Kansi a little bit here, but you know, Yaya Diaby's kind of stolen a little bit of the spotlight from Kalijah Kansi. I remember a couple weeks ago, there was just a lot of love for Kalijah Kansi. Now you don't hear as much because it's not that Kansi's been bad. It's just that Yaya Diaby's been so good. So, yeah, I do think there's a bright future. I don't think he's ever going to become this 14, 15 sack guy. I just don't really think he's that type of player. But I mean, I think he can get you close to 10 sacks every year if he hits the ceiling, obviously. There's a long way to go. My guy, Noah Spence, his rookie season, he had 6 sacks in his rookie season, right? And then never really came close to that after that. So there is a long ways in his career. Now, I mean, Noah Spence is still good, but Yaya Diaby definitely is on the right path, and it's a great start to his career so far.
Yeah, and you mentioned we're not going to discount Kalijah Kansi because we've had plenty of praise for him as well this season, and we have just as much to get excited about. He's got 4 sacks on the year from an interior defensive line position, the first-round pick for the Bucs. I mean, I would argue that these two guys, they haven't been single-handedly responsible for the defensive turnaround the Bucs have had in the second half of the season, but they have been some of the most consistent players on the field week in and week out. We have talked about on these game preview shows how these guys need to get involved early and often. And we saw it early and often against Jacksonville, where the pass rush was relentless, and it led to a great play in coverage by Devin White. We'll talk about his return as well. But these two rookies have been some of the most consistent players on the field on the defensive side of the ball for Tampa Bay. And it's just a lot to be excited about when you forecast the future of this Bucs defense.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing is that obviously picking Kalijah Kansi 19th overall, yeah, you know he's going to play a pretty big role for you. But, you know, picking Yaya Diaby in the third round, I liked Diaby as a prospect, but I thought it was a little bit early. I mean, I get it. I think I even said on James's stream during the draft and in our draft review that like the Bucks didn't have a fourth round pick. So I think they basically looked at it like, this guy isn't going to be there in the fourth round. We want him here. Let's just get him here. So I don't know if they imagined Yaya Diaby playing such a big role for them at this point in the season, especially when you had Shaq Barrett back from injury. You had Joe Tryon-Schwenka, who you hoped would have made the jump in that development. And then you also re-signed Anthony Nelson. So I don't know how much they exactly expected Yaya Diaby to play. And I think he's been a pleasant surprise to them. I think his production has been great. And hopefully he can continue to build on this. And hey, let's try and get the 8 sacks. I mean, 8 sacks, it's 1.5 in 2 games. That's not bad. And 8 sacks as a rookie is phenomenal. So let's try and get there. And, we'll see if they can, make some impact plays against the Saints. Because really, like you said, this second half of the season, they've been the driving force, I think. And like, I've been really disappointed in Shaq Barrett and disappointed in Joe Tryon-Schwenka and Anthony Nelson. But the pass rush has come from basically Vita Vea, Kalijah Kansi, and Yaya Diaby. Like, those are the three guys. And the good news is, all three of those guys are going to be here next year. And in terms of Yaya Diaby and Kalijah Kansi, they're going to be here for at least the next 4 or 5 seasons. So I do think, the future, they need more pieces along that defensive line. Draft season, the season's going to end one way or another, whether the Bucks are Super Bowl champions or don't make the playoffs or out in the wild card round. The season's going to end. So when we talk about the draft season and what this team needs, pass rush can be up there, but they do still have nice pieces already in Kalijah Kansi and Yaya Diaby.
One forced fumble on the season for Yaya Diaby. And again, those takeaways, I'd argue, were some of the biggest reasons the Bucks have played as well as they have. That game against Jacksonville, 21 points in the first half, off of takeaways alone, and even against Green Bay, just proving that this defense can take the ball away is going to help the Bucks down the stretch, because you have an offense that's playing hot, you have a quarterback that's playing well, but if they don't have to go above and beyond and you can continue to play complementary football, especially with a defense that we have seen perform before, they've been a little inconsistent this season, but this turnaround has been a huge part of this win streak, and the rookies deserve a lot of credit. But you cannot talk about guys who produce on this defense without talking about the best safety in the NFL. Antoine Winfield Jr., a guy who the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to have to pay, and it's going to hurt their pockets. 110 tackles on the season, 12 passes defended, 7 QB hits, 5 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, 5 forced fumbles, 4 recoveries, 3 interceptions.
And all this is with 2 games remaining, so.
He does it all at the safety position. There is not any other safety that is above him in any of those categories, except for Kyle Hamilton, who I believe has him on interceptions. I could be wrong about that, but it's only one of those stats that he is trailing anybody in. I don't know why he isn't being talked about more for NFL Defensive Player of the Year. You could put that bet in, but if I'm a betting man, I wouldn't. I would like the odds on it, but I just don't think it works. I think those NFL honors, some of them, unfortunately, are still more of a popularity contest. And I just don't think Antoine Winfield Jr. at the end of the day is going to get enough credit for the work that he has done this season as far as the public eye, as far as the NFL casual fan is aware of. But as far as NFL teams are aware of who are looking to pay a safety this offseason, this guy is about to get the bag, whether it be in Tampa Bay or elsewhere. But it's going to be hard for the Bucks to let him walk. I can't imagine they do it.
Well, and I have some bad news for any team that is looking forward to signing Antoine Winfield. It's not going to happen this offseason. If the Buccaneers cannot reach a long-term deal with Winfield, they're just going to franchise tag him. Like, he's not going anywhere this offseason. I guarantee you. There is more of a chance that Mike Evans plays on another team next year than Antoine Winfield does. Like, it's just not going to happen. So, I don't think Bucks fans have much to worry about that. I don't even think Antoine Winfield's going to hit the open market. So long-term deals, obviously preferred, but I think if worst comes to worst, I just think they're going to franchise tag him. So, and then see if he can do it again, right? And if he can do it again, then you're really talking about a bag. But if he can't, maybe that price comes down a little bit. And I do think, he is playing like the best, safety in the NFL. You're talking about Jesse Bates in Atlanta. You're talking about Kyle Hamilton in Baltimore. I know Kyle Hamilton has been getting a lot of love, I think primarily because he had that big game against the 49ers on Monday night too. Like, I think that helps. And I don't think people are talking about Jesse Bates enough either, and because he plays for the Falcons. Like, and Kyle Hamilton's getting all this love because he plays on the Ravens, who, like, the Ravens might win this freaking Super Bowl. So it's astounding to me that he's I'm not sure about the updated list. I haven't seen an updated thing, but last I checked, he wasn't even top 10 in the Pro Bowl voting. Like, I don't know what we're doing here. Like, okay, you can maybe, I understand you won't hear any of this, but like, you can make the argument maybe he's not the best safety in the NFL. But I believe the top three in the NFC would make it. The top three safeties in the NFC make the Pro Bowl. There's no way he's not the top of one of the top three safeties in the NFC. Like, he's one of the top three safeties in the NFL. Like, I don't see how this dude doesn't make a Pro Bowl. I don't really care about the Pro Bowl. Like, that doesn't matter to me. It's tough for a defensive back, I think, to win defensive player of the year. They're usually always going to give that to the guy that gets 18 sacks. Like, they're always going to give it to the Aaron Donalds, the Miles Garrett, the TJ Watt. Like, they're always going to give it to those guys. So it's kind of tough for a defensive back, I think, in today's day and age to win defensive player of the year. But yeah, I definitely think he should be in consideration. But yeah, Antoine Winfield's been just fantastic for the Bucks, and he's taken a huge jump. He's like, this isn't the player we've seen the last three seasons prior. Like, he was good, right? We always knew he was really good, but this is like a next level type thing from Antoine Winfield Jr. And trust me, folks, like, the Buccaneers have no plans to let him go anytime soon. So I wouldn't worry about Antoine Winfield. I'm not worried about that at all. I'm more focused on, like, is Lavonte David going to retire? Is Mike Evans going to be back? Like, that's what I'm worried about, because I'm counting Antoine Winfield as being on this team in 2024.
Yeah, one of the most impressive seasons, I'd say, by a Bucs defensive back
in
history. Since Rondé Barber was going after the quarterback. It has been quite a long time, and he has been a Swiss Army knife for this defense. One more guy on this defense I wanted to talk about at the linebacker position. You know, you've got the ageless wonder Lavonte David, but right next to him is Devin White, who made his return to Tampa Bay last week after missing a couple of games due to injury or whatever else. We got into it, you know, open and shut case. It is what it is. Wanted to talk about Devin White and wanted to talk about him playing with a purpose. I mean, clearly this is a guy who shows up when he wants to, but when you're playing for a contract the way that he is, he's playing motivated. And I'd argue that is the best thing this Bucs team needs right now, because it is a common goal, you know, for everyone out there. He wants to play as well as he can. And I'd argue he took some of the best coverage snaps of his career last week against Jacksonville, that big interception early in the game. He was also able to get to the quarterback, which is what you love to see. That's been a huge strength of his, recording half a sack last week in that win against the Jags. I mean, he's playing great since he has been back, and you want to see him keep it consistent. For his sake, he's going to keep it consistent, because we can talk about his performance, the big contract he's potentially going to sign, but I do think it's more than likely not going to be in Tampa Bay, is regardless of how well he does perform in these final games, that ship is probably sailed with his future with the Bucs.
Yeah, it has. I mean, it's not, you know, it's no secret. I think that relationship is, I think it's soured in the offseason. Like, I think it's soured when he made that trade request. And you know, he played a great game on Sunday. Like, he really did. The best game, honestly, probably the best game he's played in the last two seasons. Like, he didn't even play that well in 2022. But the consistency isn't there. I think he's rubbed teammates the wrong way. I think he's rubbed the organization the wrong way. And that's exactly why, yeah, he's not going to be back. So if you enjoy watching Devin White play for the Buccaneers, I would enjoy these next two or three games, because I don't foresee him being back in Tampa Bay. The only way is if Lavonte David basically walks and goes elsewhere or retires, and the Buccaneers just cannot find anybody else. Like, that's the only way to me. So I don't foresee that happening. I think the Bucs are ready to move on. KJ Britt's played well in his absence. Servazie Dennis has shown flashes. I think the Buccaneers would be ready to give one of those guys a chance. I don't think they want their starting linebacker next year to be KJ Britt and Servazie Dennis, because they still want to be competitive next year, obviously. You know, Todd Bowles will likely be back. You know, like, he realizes if he only wins six games next year, he probably won't return for another season. So, you know, he wants to still be competitive. And I do think that the Bucs want a veteran next to one of those younger guys. I just don't think that veteran's going to be Devin White. So I do think that Yes, he is playing well. It does benefit both parties, right? Like, it benefits him because maybe, yeah, you're not going to get the contract that you wanted, you know, 6 months ago. But if you play well down the stretch here, people are going to notice, and maybe you get a little bit of a better, instead of a 1 year, $6 million deal, maybe you get a 1 year, $10 million deal, and then you ball out, and then you get your big payday. So, and then for the Buccaneers, obviously you're getting a productive player. So down the playoff stretch here. And, you know, I don't think it really changes much about the future with Devin White here in Tampa Bay, but it is nice to see, you know, him come back right away and into the fold and play well.
On the other side of the football, let's talk about the offense and why personally, Evan, I think it's going to be a tough week. You know, we've talked a hell of a lot about this Buccaneers offense, how they're finally getting into the right rhythm, how Baker Mayfield is playing some of his best ball of the season, and they've done a lot of great things here in this four-game win streak, but something about this game, something about what it means for not only the season, but for the franchise in the grand scheme of things, we're talking about something the Bucs have never done in the history of the team. They have never won three straight division titles. And for them to potentially do it against the New Orleans Saints, a team that I cannot stress enough, like a team that just will not go away. They've already beat them once this season. It's going to be even tougher to sweep them. And it's going to be even tougher to sweep them 2 years in a row. You know, they got swept last year by a beat-up Tom Brady and a beat-up Bucs roster with an aging Julio Jones and a rookie Rashad White. So I do feel good about their chances of winning, but this game in the pit of my stomach feels like the perfect recipe for just something to go wrong. And the something to go wrong this week, I think, is I think it could potentially be tough sledding for this Bucs offense, because as injured as the Saints have been, they still have a top 10 passing defense in the NFL, ranked number 7. So what kind of week do you think it's going to be?
Yeah, well,
do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So Marshawn Lattimore going to be out for this game. So obviously, unfortunately, we won't see the Mike Evans versus Marshawn Lattimore matchup. We barely saw it last time either, because I believe Evans got injured. Quick trivia here. See if you remember. Okay. The Buccaneers scored one offensive touchdown in New Orleans last year, week 2. Who scored it?
Rashad Perryman.
There you go. That's good memory. It's
Bucs
good memory.
Legend. I was actually just thinking about him the other day. He's one of those guys in Bucs history that he kind of pops up. You know, 2019, I remember that ridiculous game he had at the end of the season. He went on
that stretch. He played himself out of Tampa Bay. He priced himself out of Tampa Bay just by those last four games.
Yeah, that circus catch the final week of the season against Atlanta and that overtime loss for Tampa Bay. And then in 2021, the Bucs bring him back with Tom Brady and he takes down the Bills in overtime. That's a guy that a lot of fond memories. He had a career game, I think 2019 against Detroit, where his dad played. You know, there's a lot of positive Rashad Perryman.
I think he had 2 touchdowns in that game, too.
Yeah, he had to redeem himself in 2019 because he had a couple of awful drops at the early part of the season there. But I'm glad that a lot of people, you know, can can look back at the good he did, and it outweighs some of those problems he had early in the year.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do agree with you. I think it might be a little bit of tough sledding for the offense. Look, it wasn't a clean game the last time these two teams met, right? I thought it was a good game by Baker. The Bucks put up 26 points, but it wasn't like completely clean on offense throughout the rest of the game, really. And I believe, you know, the Bucks got off to a pretty slow start in that game too. It had a very similar vibe of the week two game last year, right? The Buccaneers failed to score anything in the first quarter. The Saints led 3-0. Then the Buccaneers scored 14 points in the second quarter. That was after a New Orleans turnover there. And then the Bucs scored 12 in the fourth quarter. It's kind of pulled away there. But Buccaneers did not allow the Saints to get in the end zone last time. So hoping to keep that up. I'm not sure if it's going to, you know, that's not really something you can sustain necessarily. But, yeah, I do think it could be a tougher day for the offense. I do agree with you there. And I think, again, it's going to be about protecting the football. It's going to be about who protects the football better. Now, Baker Mayfield did have an interception in that game, and it was in the red zone. But if you remember, right away, the Buccaneers got the ball back on a fumble. So, and then the Bucs scored a touchdown. So it kind of negated itself. Now, when you're looking at this matchup and you talk about, oh, their pass defense is being, you know, tough, the Bucs, the last 2 weeks, Baker Mayfield's played great, but they've also played some weaker pass defenses. So I am curious to see how this offense, which is one of the hotter offenses in the NFL right now, I am curious to see how they play against the tougher New Orleans defense, because Green Bay's secondary is not very good. And Green Bay was also missing Jair Alexander in that game as well, their best corner. And then Jacksonville had the 29th ranked pass defense going into that game. I'm curious to see now against New Orleans, even without Marshawn Lattimore, I am curious to see how they play, how Baker Mayfield performs. And I think it could go a long way in saying, like, the confidence that you could have in a guy like Baker Mayfield in a playoff game. All right. I do think because, you know, you're probably going to see a team that's top 10 in pass defense, top 15 in pass defense in the playoffs. So I do think this is, the Buccaneers are going to treat this like a playoff game, because quite frankly, you know, if they win, like, they're locked, they're in. But I also think, like, I think the fans should be looking at this like, okay, this could be like a preview of like what it's like in the playoffs, like the type of defenses you're going to be playing in the playoffs, and we'll see how they perform.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the turnover battle, because I was going to say it myself. Baker Mayfield and the rest of this Bucs offense, they don't have to go above and beyond this week like they have these last few weeks. They just have to protect the football. And I think the Saints have proven one thing this year, and it's that they are definitely prone to turning the ball over. And with the Buccaneers defense kind of surging the way that it has with taking the ball away, I would expect a couple of opportunities this week. You have to capitalize, you have to play clean football, and you have to play complementary football, because if the Saints are as bad of a team as I want to believe, if there's one thing that's going to put them away, it's going to be capitalizing on their mistakes, and the Bucs are definitely going to be in position to do that.
If there's one thing that's going to keep them in the game, it's going to be shooting yourself in the foot with turnovers.
Very true.
You know, and then that's the, you know, the other side of it, right? And that's if you can't protect the football, which the Buccaneers have done a better job of these past few weeks. If you can't, like, Baker Mayfield had a stretch there in the middle of the season where he was turning the ball over at a higher rate than he was earlier in the season, but the Buccaneers were able to overcome it. And now it's time to protect the football again. Baker Mayfield didn't have any turnovers last week, had the one fumble against Green Bay, and he needs to have another, I think, cleaner game here. Like, I do think that, and I think it, when you look back at this game, I think whoever wins the turnover battle, especially because I do think it's going to be a closer game, and I think whoever in a close game, whoever wins the turnover battle is likely the guy who's going to win the game.
Saints defense, they got a leaky run defense, so I wanted to talk about Rashad White and his expected performance this week. Now, if you are a betting degenerate like I tend to be, the line on him for receiving this week I really do like. I think it's 21.5 last time I looked at it, which for Rashad White, we talk about his emergence.
Last week it was 26.5. Actually, I hit a parlay. Let me pull it up. I did hit a parlay last week during the Jacksonville game. So shout out. Also shout out to Calvin Ridley too, because he was on that parlay. But
yeah, Rashad White made me a
yeah. I Rashad White was undoubtedly on that list. So if you can get that at that number, go ahead.
Yeah, he's made me a lot of money this week. So look at your app, see what that line is. But I think Rashad White's going to be huge. I think he's going to be the catalyst for what the Bucs do on offense. He has been in other weeks. We've seen him just completely take over the offense and be the only reason the Bucs have any sort of production. And I don't want to say that this week could be another one of those weeks, but again, we talk about how Baker may not have as easy of a day throwing the football. Maybe Mike Evans does ball out without Marshawn Lattimore. You know, there's a lot of dynamics to this game that could be flipped on their head here in the first quarter. We just have to see how aggressive the Bucs come out on that first drive of the game, which last week, I'd argue some of the success they had against Jacksonville was because they came out so aggressive going for it on fourth down multiple times there in the first half. That was exciting to watch, and I do have to give Todd Bowles a tip of my cap there because I have criticized him for a lack of consistency in deciding how aggressive he wants to be. And last week, he had the pedal down all four quarters. They got to do that again this week. But I think Rashad White is a big part of that, whether running the football or throwing it. I like for him to have a big game this week. I think the offense moves through the run game.
Yeah, and the parlay I had was Rashad White, 25-plus receiving yards. Rashad White, over 3.5 total receptions. Mike Evans, over 4.5 total receptions. And Calvin Ridley, over 4.5 total receptions. Which, shout out Calvin Ridley in the second half, because in the first half, he only had one catch.
Yeah.
So, having a bigger second half. So, shout out to him. But yeah, I mean, Rashad White has become a bigger part of this offense as the season's gone on. And he went from basically being a disappointing player, I think, earlier in the season, like you were expecting, because last year, sort of at this time, is when he really started to come into his own, right? He had that game-winning touchdown against New Orleans. He had the late one against Arizona. Like, he started to come into his own as a running back, was basically the starter, took the job away from Leonard Fournette. And then you came out of that, and you're like, okay, maybe, you know, he's the guy now. And he started off the 2023 season, and it wasn't quite the same. And now I think the Buccaneers and Dave Canales have figured out the right ways to use him. The run game was not what it needed to be against Jacksonville last week. They need to be better, especially against some, you know, these playoff teams. I'm not saying that New Orleans is a playoff team and Jacksonville isn't, but you know, in the playoffs, you know, you got to be able to run the ball efficiently. It helps your entire offense. But I do think Rashad White again is going to be a pretty big involvement in the passing game. And yeah, if you can get, I want to check the number, see if there's a number available right now for Rashad White. See if you're gonna get my live reaction to the line right now. This is on FanDuel. Let's see here. Receiving props, 22.5. Yeah, I would take it. I would take it. His receptions are set at 3.5 as well. I'd feel comfortable taking both of them. I would feel pretty good taking both of them. So they get him involved early and often. And even though we think it might be a tougher day throwing the football, I do think that could actually lead to Baker Mayfield checking the ball down a little bit more. And Al Bundy in the chat actually said a pretty good point. Green Bay and Jacksonville run a lot of zone. Baker threw a lot of anticipation throws that work well versus zone. True. Saints run tons of man and are very good at it. I can't see Baker having the same passing success versus the Saints. That's one of the things that gave Tom Brady, you know, fits all those years. Because basically, for whatever reason, Mike Evans wasn't winning enough one-on-ones. Chris Godwin wasn't winning enough one-on-ones. Rob Gronkowski wasn't winning enough one-on-ones. And the New Orleans pass rush could get there in time. And, their man coverage are a lot of man heavy. And you're right. And I think that is a reason why it's going to be a little bit tougher. And I also think it's a key to protect the quarterback this week, too. Because if you can't protect Baker, I think the offense can fall apart. But yeah, I do think it could be a little bit tougher. That's a pretty good point there in the chat.
I don't want to talk too much smack about the Saints pass rush, but I just want to look at, I want to refer to what the film shows Tristan Wirfs did to Josh Allen last week. Man, oh man, he put him in a spin cycle, dude. He made it tough. And this Bucs offensive line has been a bit of a bright spot. We talked about the development of Luke Goedeke, obviously, at right tackle, worse at left tackle, playing injured, playing better than a lot of other tackles in the NFL at this point. And the interior struggles, but I like the matchup this week. And this is probably the best that I have felt about a Bucs-Saints matchup in a while. You know, all the way back early in the season, what that game was, week four, I believe.
That's scary.
Yeah, I know.
Feeling good about a Bucs-Saints matchup?
That is scary, which leads me to my main point. Like, even though I feel good about this matchup, I still have that feeling at the pit of my stomach that the Saints are still that team. You know, and for the Bucs to sweep them 2 years in a row, that would be awesome.
This is it. If the Bucs beat them on Sunday, win the NFC South against them in Tampa, next year you can't feel that way about the Saints anymore. Like, I agree, you're not the only one, and I definitely have the same feeling. Like, and there's people listening to this podcast right now that I'm sure have the same exact feeling. But if the Buccaneers beat the Saints again, sweep them 2 years in a row, and clinch the NFC South while doing it, that's it. Like, it's done.
Let's get to some score predictions here to wrap up the game preview. I think they can do it. I think the odds are pitted against the Bucs this week. I think they're only favored by 2.5, which for a home game is, you know, damn near even. The matchup.
You basically get, what, 2 points for home, basically?
Yeah, the matchup predictor on ESPN.com actually favors New Orleans 51 to 49%. So there's a lot on the line, and it's a perfect recipe for disaster based off of the history of the franchise and what we've seen time and time again over the course of history. But I really do think the Bucs are playing some of their best football. I think they know what's at stake, and I think this team would much rather handle business this week than have to go into an unknown next week against Carolina. Like, the Panthers are a laughingstock, don't get me wrong. They more than likely are going to shore up the number one overall pick in the draft, which, you know, good for them, but it's
they don't own.
So. Exactly. So it's as good as it can be for them. They are a dumpster fire, but they are still a team that would love to play upset. And if the Bucs lose, the Panthers would love nothing more.
Well, and also Carolina has been playing a little bit better.
They have.
They beat Atlanta. They took Green Bay to, I believe, overtime. Like, they've been playing a little bit better.
Which is exactly why the Bucs need to handle business this week against a proven opponent. You know, this is a team that if you beat, I know that most of the NFL doesn't look at this division as competitive, and they don't look at the Saints as a good team, and they haven't been a great team this year, don't get me wrong, but they're still a tough team, and they're playing for their postseason lives just like the Bucs are. So I think it's going to be tough, but I have faith they can get it done. My hopes for this team are a little bit more than I thought they would be headed into this game just because of how they beat Jacksonville. Like, nobody saw that.
We didn't even talk about this, but I completely missed this, actually. Todd Bowles says that Carlton Davis, Shaq Barrett, and Cook Keith are out for Sunday's game against the Saints. So that's another thing for Yaya Diaby to step up. You know, it's even more important now for a guy like Yaya Diaby to step up. So we'll see.
Yeah, star tight end Cook Keith. After a touchdown.
Yeah, you're going to have to figure out how to replace him.
Yeah, it's going
to
change up a lot of the dynamic on offense there. But regardless, next man up. You know, we've talked all year about the young guys stepping up. Carlton Davis, who has been missing some action. You're looking for him to get healthy. At this point, man, you just hope he's ready to go for the postseason. But the Bucs need to handle business. They need to keep momentum riding high. Isaiah brought it up in the chat. We need to keep momentum. That is really the biggest thing. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot riding on the game this week. For the Bucs, it is their postseason momentum. It is the NFC South division, if they can conquer that for the third straight season for the first time in team history. And it's a chance to sweep those damn Saints for the second straight year, which would be awesome. It would be awesome. We have not covered a run like this against New Orleans in the history of the show. So it would be the icing on top of a pretty nice turnaround here at the end of the 2023 season for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But my final score, Bucs are favored by 2.5. I think they win, and I do think they cover. I think they win by 3. Low scoring affair. I've got the Bucs coming out on top. 24-21.
Okay, I think the Buccaneers win, and the Buccaneers cover by 3, 20-17. I think it's a little bit lower scoring than you. I have a hard time seeing the Bucs score 3 touchdowns in this one. I think it's going to be more of a defensive type of day, and I think the Bucs defense maybe force a turnover or two, and that's the difference during a 3-point game. So I definitely think it's going to be closer than the first week. you know, not the first week, the first time these teams played this season. But I don't think the Saints, I think the Bucs momentum is just a little bit too much right now. And then, you know, you can celebrate a third straight NFC South title and the playoffs for the fourth straight year, which I believe it would be the first time in franchise history, I think. But either the first or second, it hasn't happened often where the Buccaneers have made the playoffs four straight seasons. So even like in the Dungy years where they were really good, I think they never made the playoffs four straight seasons. So while you wrap up there, I am going to look that up and just confirm that. So, yeah, but it's I do think that the Buccaneers are going to find a way. It won't be pretty, I don't think, but they're going to find a way to get it done.
I think that's how you have to do it. You know, it's the toughest game they have left. It is that game against the Saints. I've made the point over and over on today's show. You guys totally get it. I'm beating a dead horse here, but I can't state it enough. You know, the Bucs are not in a state to overlook any team, and they cannot do it with the Saints this week. So I do think they handled business, and I think this Bucs regime does a really good job at making a case to keep them around in 2024. I mean, it's hard to argue against this Bucs regime as of right now. Winning cures all.
They have made the playoffs four straight years. 1997, because they lost in the wild card a bunch, but they did make the playoffs from 1999 to 2002. So 99, 2000, 2001, 2002. So they've made it four straight. I don't think they've ever made it five straight, though. So maybe next year, but it all starts with having four straight. You can't have five straight without having four straight. So maybe next year, but hopefully, you know, yeah, they get that, you know, hopefully they can get it done.
Historic game this week for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on NFC South foe, the New Orleans Saints. But that's just about going to do it for this week's game preview edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast. Want to thank everybody hanging out with us live over on YouTube. First name greatest, and I have seen that picture before. I want to say that's our good friend Tony Baloney, who has not been in chat very much this year, but we do appreciate his support. Been rocking with us for a little while. Christopher Cole, Jeremy Lowe, Isaiah J., Holyoke Joe, Al Bundy, Ryan Flanagan, Aiden Duffield, anyone else that I may have missed. We appreciate you guys. Subscribe to the channel for more great Tampa Bay Buccaneers content. And find the show on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those are Cannon Fire Podcast. Best place to go for updates on the show. And of course, Tampa Bay Buccaneer news as it happens. Speaking of Bucs news as it happens, follow my co-host Evan on Instagram at Bucs_daily, the number one Buccaneers fan page on Instagram. You can also find him on Twitter at EvanNFL. Check out his written work at BucsNation.com. You got anything on the slate this week?
Yeah, going to have an X-Factor out this week, and then also the Q&A with the Saints site. I believe it's called Canal Street Chronicles. So be on the lookout for that on BucsNation.com.
Looking forward to it. Last but not least, you can find myself Instagram and Twitter at Redicus, RHETTAKUS. If you follow me, I will follow you back. And stay tuned tomorrow. We've got a video dropping on the channel, a little bit of a game preview from a segment that I was able to do with FanDuel Radio earlier today. All that and some more great Tampa Bay Buccaneers content over on the Cannon Fire Podcast YouTube channel. Getting you ready for the game this week. Word salad. Sometimes it's hard, you know. We're right here at the end of the show, so my brain stops working. I'm your host, Rhett Matthew, signing off from my co-host, Evan Wanish. We'll talk to you in the next one. Until then, and as always, thank you for listening, and go Bucs. Forward to it. Last but not least, you can find myself, Instagram and Twitter, at Redicus, RHETTAKUS. If you follow me, I will follow you back. And stay tuned tomorrow. We've got a video dropping on the channel, a little bit of a game preview from a segment that I was able to do with FanDuel Radio earlier today. All that and some more great Tampa Bay Buccaneers content over on the Cannon Fire Podcast YouTube channel. Getting you ready for the game this week. Word salad. Sometimes it's hard. You know, we're right here at the end of the show, so my brain stops working. I'm your host, Rhett Matthew, signing off from my co-host, Evan Wanish. We'll talk to you in the next one. Until then, and as always, thank you for listening, and go Bucs.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at Ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.